This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 23. Everything looked different through the narrow and dim cone of the torch. Tom focused on finding the path and then on his feet as he climbed the hill. The still night air smelled of a childhood he couldn't quite recall. In the absence of light, the night was alive with an aromatic mix that somehow smelled of mountain and moon and stars. It smelled too of the earth under his feet, the water running underground, tangible and intangible sensations invoking long-lost thoughts and memories that remained tantalizingly beyond his reach. But as he stepped over the juddering spotlit walls of the ruin and made his way up to the rocks, there were certain things he knew to be true, true and impossible. The rocks making up this pile of rubble he thought of as home were covered in moss. How long ago they'd fallen he had no idea, but the time was measured in decades, perhaps centuries. Once again his thoughts and emotions struggled with common sense. Nevertheless, he recalled the first time he'd seen the woman he now felt was his mother. Then she had seemed to walk through a door that splintered and reconstructed between blinks. If Tom had been hallucinating then perhaps he'd done so again. The disfigured madman had dragged his mother and Tess through a solid pile of bricks. Well, that's what happened in hallucinations, a sensible him told his other self. But Tom did not break step. He reached the rocks, dropped the small tools and, still standing, prodded the ground with the thin and rusted end of the spade. The noise clanged through the night and close by a ground-nesting bird shrieked and flapped inefficient wings into the air. He dropped to his knees, the torchbeam following his eyes to light a small patch of stone and moss in animal parts. He took his trowel and scraped away the moss, picked up a dismembered leg bone and cleared the bed in a succession of scratching, dog-like throws behind him. And then he found it. His hands, bleeding from the fingernails, black and patchwork-stained mossy green, flickered in and out of the bobbing, frantic light. So intent in the hellish gardening, so focused on the images that came and went in his head, that he almost missed it. All three had stood where he knelt now. His mother. Tess. Him. Tom's heart spurred him on, a walloping sound driving his pace to the war beat of galley slaves. Tom replayed the scene. Tess had knocked a man off balance and soon she herself lay twitching on the ground, the woman jumping to her aid. Lightning-bright cracks turning the black shreds of night to fire. And she too fell, the cruel rod in her grasp, ozone and burnt beef scenting the air. Gnarled, flaking fingers scrunched fabric in Tom's mind. The woman's head lolled back, her long blonde hair sweeping the ground, her pale neck stretched taut, throat exposed. And then the sound of tearing cloth. The pop of buttons, the guttural grunt and fury of mismanaged anger. And he saw it then. He saw it then and felt it in his hand now. The string around her neck, digging into her flesh, a line gashing her skin, deep, as though destined to break through as a thin noose tightened and tightened still. And snap! It whipped from her neck, elastic and ecstatic, free. The white line now red circling her neck, the string and pendant falling to earth, the woman somehow floating into the rock with Tess as the stone heart hit the ground with the force of a fallen tombstone. Tom brought his hand back from the verge of a backward throw. He slowed to a virtual stop, sensing the enormity of his find before he knew what it was, before he saw it. He recognized the feel of it and felt that recognition within himself. The light from his torch, now steady, he opened his hand and gawked at it. the polish dulled by time, but the stone heart still beautiful, still smooth, and still capable of ripping him apart. He brought the object closer to the light and picked at a tiny thread jutting from a hole running from one side of the pendant to the other. A piece of string or wound cloth, all that remained of the disintegrated chain, slid easily from the cavity. He caressed its surface with one thumb and then another, wiping a thin film of greasy life from its surface. The movement, this intimate act, brought him ever closer to the skin the stone had last touched. And at once the heart became the key to a part of him that was always there, but buried in some safe place that was about to be opened.
DreamWorks.com.